I have always believed in miracles.
And that is why you will never hear me mention his name.
Deliver Brexit. Unite the country.
We will make America great again.
Views on News with Mark Latham.
Well, Mark Latham, I'm pleased to say he's in the studio this afternoon. Normally we talk to Mark Latham on the telephone each and every week, but he's in Newcastle for a couple of reasons today with his family. And so he's delightful. It's delightful to have you in the studio, Mark.
Well, Brent, thanks for having me here. And I've had the pleasure of a helicopter tour of the Port of Newcastle, looking at the enormous potential for the container terminal development there. And also it's the 1st of October. It's the beginning of the Newcastle liquor licensing trial, whereby small bars can stay open till 2 a.m. and restaurants till midnight, normal arrangements in the rest of New South Wales, and we're hoping to kickstart the Newcastle night economy, create jobs while also having public safety. So it's a very exciting place, you know, and on a sunny day, no place more beautiful in all of New South Wales than the city of Newcastle.
So with your helicopter ride today, you were able to, did you fly over the whole city? You got to see it from
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And looked at the magnificent coal stockpiles that are 98% of the volumes of the port, but also the vacant former BHP site, which is where they plan to put the container terminal, which would take all the produce from the northern half of New South Wales. It would be a big job creator, very economically efficient. Because I didn't fully realise this until I got into the state parliament. New South Wales only has one port container terminal. That's Port Botany, right, where they've got the dispute now with the Maritime Union. Yeah. And at Newcastle, it would be fully automated. No Patricks, no MUA, so you avoid all that historic dispute. And it would be a wonderful outlet for all our exporters in New South Wales to get their produce quickly across the wharf and off to their markets. So it's a big project. It's a $1.8 billion project, and hopefully it can go ahead. I know the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is taking an interest in it. I hope the Premier can support it because there's a very complex anti-competitive deal in place. That's before the federal court later this month. But if that's cleared out of the way, this should be a massive gain for the New South Wales economy to have our second container terminal right here in Newcastle.
And of course, the main reason for your trip today was the fact that it starts tonight, does it? The late night, I mean, for restaurants, I
think it's so important for Newcastle to move past sort of a country town mentality. Everyone goes home at 9:30 or 10 and actually realise this is the second city in New South Wales. It's got all the infrastructure, all the support over the years, the university, Honeysuckle, the light rail, the beautiful waterfront views, the heritage buildings. It really should be a mecca for tourism and hospitality jobs. And when we get back to normal, the cruise boats coming in to the harbour. So Newcastle is overflowing with potential to have a night economy, to be a major tourism attraction. What a great place to base yourself, not just for the city of Newcastle, but going up to the horse studs and the vineyards up the valley. So we want to develop that, and you can't do it unless people have got something logical to do at night. If it all closes at 10 o'clock, who's going to have a convention? Who's going to come in for conferences and regular tourism? We need a nightlife in Newcastle, and hopefully this is the beginning of a whole new scene for the city.
You're moving here in January of next year, aren't you? You, your wife and your daughter.
Yeah. My wife's been appointed as magistrate of the Newcastle local court, so it's a change. From the age of 4 onwards, I'm now 59. What's that, 55 years I've lived in Western Sydney. So right. The only place I can remember is living in Western Sydney. But I've always loved Newcastle from the time I visited here with working for Bob Carr in 1988. So that's a long while ago too. I've always loved Newcastle and admired its potential. And moving here for family reasons is going to be a real delight.
So you'll be sort of split between the two. You'll be travelling. And it's an easy trip these days, isn't it?
Well, I was just saying to my wife driving up here this morning that there's no finer rail trip that, you know, you can drive. And when they put the North Connects Road in to avoid Pennant Hills Road, that'll be better in Sydney. But it's a beautiful trip up on the train to go through Woi Woi there and also the Hawkesbury River. So I'll be splitting time, obviously, when the Parliament is sitting and committees are meeting in Sydney. Right. But looking forward to the chance to have a beautiful change of scenery to live somewhere in Newcastle.
And, of course, we'll see more of you in the studio.
Yeah, that's right. When I'm here, I can come in. I reckon you've cleaned it up. You're telling me that...
We have.
So I'm very honoured. It's spick and span. Listeners, I can report that this place has never looked finer.
We've vacuumed. Look, will we go to Peggy? Now, look, if you've got a question for Mark, you can give us a call on 13 12 69 and you can ask Mark the question. I suppose when Mark is a regular guest in the studio, maybe we can have a regular spot where people ring in and ask Mark
questions.
Yeah,
I love that interaction to get people's views.
So if you wanted to have a chat with Mark, you can give us a call on 13 12 69. But I know that we've got Peggy on the phone at the moment. Peggy is in Spears Point. So rather than make Peggy hold Mark, we'll go straight to Peggy now, and she wants to ask you a question. Hello, Peggy, how are you?
Oh, I'm well, thank you, and I'm so happy that... Did I hear that Mark's going to move up here?
He is, yes.
Oh, what a brilliant additive to our area.
There you go, Mark, a fan.
Thanks very much, Peggy. I love being an additive.
Can I just tell you...
Hopefully a positive one for the city.
Some time ago, I said I wanted to have lunch with you, and Brent was said he was going to set it up because I wanted to pick your brains, but that never happened.
Oh, we can do that too. If I'm hanging around town and you see me, grab hold of me and we'll find a nice cafe and have a good chat.
I don't grab anybody when I'm walking.
Oh, my shout, Peggy, my shout.
I wanted to say to you, what is your and your party's opinion about Australia and giving all this money that we give to the United Nations?
Well, we're not very happy about it.
I'm very unhappy.
Yeah, no, a lot of the money is wasted. A lot of it is stupidity. For instance, the United Nations recently put out a statement saying the real problem with the coronavirus pandemic is men, that we live in a patriarchy, that men have caused an unequal world and men need to take responsibility. Well, what about China? Obviously, this virus started in Wuhan, China. It was allowed to spread. And organisations like the World Health Organization under the coverage of the UN, theoretically, they make a lot of sense. Of course, nations need to cooperate in a thing like a pandemic we've got at the moment. But when the World Health Organization seems to be in the pocket of China and you haven't got a genuine outlook about investigating that and making sure it never happens again, well, you have to think that we just waste our money sending it to the United Nations.
But
it's good to cooperate.
It's billions of dollars.
Well, that's right. So I think we should take the stance that Donald Trump has taken and say to the United Nations, unless you provide value for money, we'll drop out of these organisations and not pay the money because it's wasted. And look at all the other priorities we've got here because of the virus out of China. We've got unemployment, we've got health requirements now, the extra spending in all these areas, why send it overseas?
Well, you know, did you hear the latest one that I heard from the United Nations is that they want to get 50 countries so they can stop nuclear weapons in the world. They've got 45, but they need 50. Well, if they got 50, how the hell are they going to stop it anyway?
Well, countries have got to look after their own problems, and there are treaties about nuclear weapons, but too often countries are expecting places like Australia to go solve their problems for them. I listened to the debate yesterday between Trump and Biden, and when they weren't interrupting each other, Biden said he wants countries like Australia to chip in the money to save the Brazilian rainforests. Well, haven't we got enough work to do here without going to solve the problems of Brazil? Brazil can solve their own issues.
Well, I'd rather save the koalas, thank you.
Well, it's got to be Australia first. That's got to be our priority. And if the UN and other countries aren't doing the job, we're not there to make a donation to them.
Peggy, thank you for your call. Mark's got plenty of... The board's full.
Fantastic.
The board's full. So we'll go to Bob. Thanks, Peggy. I know that if you bump into Mark, you'll have him... for lunch, or he'll have you for lunch. Bob, you there?
Yeah, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, Bob. How are you?
Good, mate. Mark, I personally want to thank you, mate, for putting your hand up to help the greyhound industry. You know that we've been to hell and back. Well, we're still in hell with this Chewick mob that wants to destroy the industry. I know there's a select committee inquiry into their activities, and it's just a regulatory body that's just got totally out of control. And if it doesn't sort of change, I can see the death of greyhound racing here in New South Wales. Mate, I've been in it 40 years. I've had the pleasure to meet you at Maitland one day when you come up. There's not too many politicians do that. Get to the, you know, the working class, and you probably know, coming from that type of area, the greyhound industry is full of the working class people, and that to take that away from them and destroy it with over-regulation, it'll be the death knell if they get away with it.
Yeah, we're trying to stop that, Bob, and I'm a great supporter of the greyhound industry because they give working people hope. I mean, it's more affordable than the thoroughbred racing, and for a working person to have a couple of dogs, to walk them of an afternoon, train them up, and go to the races and hope they've got the next Zoom Top or Fernando Bale. We hear a lot of talk about mental health in society. Well, giving people hope and prospects for the future and a good social activity is the best kind of mental health we can find. So we've got to support the greyhound industry. Your average dog owner loves their dog, wants the very best for their dog. And quite frankly, if you close the industry down, I said this in Parliament a couple of weeks ago, you exterminate the greyhound as a breed. Because they're bred to race, and if they can't race, there's no practical use for them. People say, oh, you can stick them in apartments and they can be pets, but there's plenty of little dogs better suited to apartment life. So to close down the greyhound racing, and unfortunately this is the agenda of GWIC, they're supposed to be there providing greyhound welfare and integrity, but unfortunately the people who've been running it have had an agenda to close the industry down by the back door. Mike Baird tried to do it by the front door. They're going through the back one, and we've got this committee inquiry to bring them into line. And I think the main thing at GWIC, if you're going to have a welfare outfit, put some greyhound people in there. Put people who know the industry, because the ones they put in post-Mike Baird came from ASADA, the athletic doping mob, who knew nothing about the culture of dog racing. Well, so we need people who know racing and a fair mind.
There's a few staff members are animal activists, so
well,
you can
exactly
see their agenda.
Exactly. And we all want animal welfare, but not at the expense of human beings, of society, where working people need their hope, they need good prospects, and to race your animals fairly, to love your animal and hope that it's a winner, gives working people a lot of hope and benefit in life, and we've got to maintain that 100%.
Well, that's right, Mark. You know, look at myself. You know, 40-odd years I've been involved in greyhound racing, and, you know, I moved into the area of, you know, professional trainer and educator. And, you know, 40 years of marriage we put together along with our money into my property, and finished up when Baird and Grant put the band on. My wife said, we're out of here. And I said, well, I'm going to stay for the fight. Well, guess what? That marriage has gone down the drain.
Yeah, no,
along
very,
with
yeah.
part of my business.
So unfair and disruptive to people, their investments, as you point out, their relationships. Mike Baird and Troy Grant put in an absolute shocker. So our parliamentary committee with Robert Borzak from the Shooters, another great defender of the greyhound industry, we're going to really put the acid on GWIC to make sure they're fair dinkum, that they're reformed. I'd like to see them abolished, but if not that, at least they've got to be pro the future of the greyhound industry instead of a backdoor way of closing it down.
Yes. I got to go, Bob. Got to go.
Thanks,
we've got
Mark.
A board full of calls.
Good on you, Bob. Hope you get a winner.
Yep, always try, mate.
See you, mate. Bye-bye.